All right, in line with our children's ministry, this guy is back on deck. Ladies and gentlemen, Secret Special Agent Blue.
Good morning, boys and girls. Special Secret Agent Blue here on special assignment. I'm sorry, boys and girls, I've been MIA. No. My name's not Mia. MIA. Missing in action. Sorry, Mia. I don't want you getting confused with Agent Blue and Mia. We're not the same person. We look similar, but we're not the same person. Okay. All right, we've got that cleared up. Here we go. Sorry, I've been MIA. Back on the job. C has got me on secret assignment. I'm looking after her veggie garden, boys and girls. Yep, that's her veggie garden. Did you notice, boys and girls, what wasn't in the veggie garden? Correct. There was no cauliflower, no pumpkin, no cabbage, and no Brussels sprouts. She doesn't like those vegetables, boys and girls. Anyway, boys and girls, just want to say a quick hello to a couple of people that are doing well this week. Oscar, I hear this is the chance you have for winning bingo. Good luck, mate. Oh, hey, Lizzie, you've got a passion fruit vine. Pastor Donnie tells me sometimes these passion fruits become available for special people. Just my name again, Lizzie. Special Agent Blue. Any spare passion fruit? I'm up for them. Also, Josiah, hey, you had a birthday too, mate. Hope you had a good one, mate. All right, boys and girls, on with today's lesson. And it is a lesson, so listen very carefully. Boys and girls, who's into cars? Who likes cars? I love cars, boys and girls. One day when I grow up, I'm going to own a Shelby Cobra. I'll get you a photo of it. Ready? That is a very, very fast car, boys and girls. A number of years ago, it raced at a place called Bathurst, and down Conrod Strait, it hit like 5 million miles an hour. All right, not that fast, but it was fast, really fast. It passed cars like they were standing still. Boys and girls, if I owned a Shelby Cobra, I would put any number in my phone, ring people up and say, "Hi, this is Agent Blue. I own a Shelby Cobra," and then hang up. You know what, boys and girls? Most of us have something way more important, way more valuable, way more incredible than a Shelby Cobra. And that is Jesus. For those of us who have decided to follow Jesus, take Jesus as our Lord and Savior, like Pastor Brendan was talking about last week, then he is way more important than a Shelby Cobra. Many of us, when we're asked, do we know Jesus, act like we own a VW. We don't tell anyone. We don't take ads out in the paper. We don't do anything. Remember, boys and girls, if I owned a Shelby Cobra, I'd let everyone know. The Kyler boys would be in trouble with the amount of photos I'd be putting on Facebook of a Shelby Cobra. Their little cars would not be seen. I would let everybody know I own a Shelby Cobra. Well, boys and girls, it's your job and it's my job to let people know about Jesus, how good Jesus is, how amazing Jesus is, how incredible Jesus is. All right, boys and girls, I've got to fly. No, that's not Flynn. I've got to fly. All right, boys and girls, I've got to keep looking after these veggies. Can't let the birds get them. Hey, be good to one another. Be nice to one another. Love one another. And give your parents a hug for me. God bless, boys and girls. Take care. Secret Agent.
Let's pray, shall we, as we open God's word. Father God, I thank you for your word. Oh, what a precious light it is to us. Though sometimes, Lord, as it shines on us, its challenge is real. Its challenge is powerful. And it convicts us not of just sin, but walking in the wrong direction, which ultimately is sin as well. But Lord, I thank you for it today. And I pray that the passages, though they be tough, Lord, will penetrate deep and have a restraint, a result in reformation in our lives. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. To start with, I want to read a section from a book that I've been given to have a read of. I want you to have a think at when this statement was written. All right? I'm obviously doing what many people have done around that Socrates, however you say his name. He had a very, very well-known quote where he talks about unruly children and everything, and that was from 400 years BC. So generations haven't changed a real lot, have they? This one says this: people everywhere are sensing that something is missing in the life of the church. We have a form of religion, but no power. For most church people, there is no thrill in personal devotions, no spring in the step, no shout in the soul. The joy of sacrifice is gone. Complacency is the norm. And while the church flounders in mediocrity, the world plunges deeper into sin. For the average person, life has lost its meaning. It is eat, drink, and be merry, with every man for himself. The sacredness of home life and the family is forsaken. Standards of decency in public and private are debased. A spirit of lawlessness pervades the land. Have you picked a generation yet? Have you nailed it down to three or four? Let me give you some more hints. But the day of reckoning is sure to come. Moral and spiritual decline has its limits. There comes a time when we must reap the folly of our ways. Already we are beginning to see the disintegration of enduring values in our society. And unless something happens soon to change our course, civilization as we know it is on the way out. Yet there is a hope. Now obviously I've picked that book for a reason and a purpose. All preachers do. We don't use a quote unless it backs up our point. What generation do you think that comes from? All of them. Thank you, Joseph, and it's good to have you with us today. That was Daniel. Oh, Daniel, you're sounding so alike. Isn't that good to hear? Ouch, how to diss a brother. All right. So where do you think that generation comes from? When was that book written? Anyone want to have a guess?
17th century.
17th century. Yes, no. We are in a lot of trouble if that was 17th century. The church is in mediocrity. It was written in 1969. Who's been in the church all through those years? Yeah. Does that ring true? Have we been in that sort of place? Have we been in mediocrity? Have we had a form of religion with no power? Is our community going to hell in a handbasket? And what have we done about it? What have we done about it? Let me share with you some of my thoughts. The Christian life is more than simply saying a prayer and making a commitment to Jesus. It is following Jesus each and every day, not only as our Saviour but as our Lord, just as Brendan explained brilliantly last week. This week I had the pleasure of being back in doing a service at the Living Choices Retirement Village. It was great to be back with these incredible people. They've been sharing with me how tough they've been doing it and how most of them now are IT geniuses. They love Sundays. They get up early and have an early breakfast. They watch David Jeremiah online and then someone else online, and then they'll watch their church online, then they'll have morning tea, and then they'll watch something else online, and then around 1 o'clock they'll have lunch, and they're all fired up and powered up with nowhere to go. Many of us are doing that, aren't we? It's a source of our, if our source of spiritual intake is hearing other people, no matter how good their teaching is or the preaching, whether it be online or whether it be in the house like you are today, then we will be in a relatively weakened state spiritually. There is a place for teaching and preaching. Trust me, I love it, I enjoy it, and I recommend it 100%. But at one time or another, you need to learn to feed yourself. You need to be able to read God's word and understand it. And you need to do something, don't you? It's not just about listening, but it's about doing. It's not just having it in your brain, it's having it in your heart and becoming people of action. Discipleship is following the Jesus you profess belief in. You like that? Discipleship is following the Jesus you profess belief in. Eugene Peterson defines leadership, discipleship, as a long obedience in the same direction. a long obedience in the same direction, which he borrows from a book called Beyond Good and Evil by Friedrich Nietzsche. So what is a disciple? Am I a disciple? Are we disciples? To begin with, we can say that a disciple is simply a learner. In the ancient world, philosophers and Jewish rabbis usually had many disciples. This is how they passed on their teachings and maintained their philosophical or religious schools. Disciples were typically young men who sat at the feet, literally sat at the feet of the teacher and learned from him. While this was usually in these male-centered cultures, they were never often female disciples, except a guy called Jesus had female disciples. Granted, none of the girls made the top 12, but they were there. If you read the book of Luke, you'll see again and again and again that the girls were walking around with the 12. The idea of a disciple is someone who listens to a person who has full knowledge. That listener is drinking in every word, marking every inflection of the voice, absorbing every detail. They can't get enough. Wouldn't you have to great to have learners like that today? Wouldn't that be fantastic, that people are just absorbing and taking in what the people have to teach? Another quote is, it's attention with intention. Attention with intention. Our natural next step on this journey of discipleship is to devote ourselves to being his disciples, to obeying his commands and to learn his teaching and to follow his example. We're going to delve deeper into that over the next month. The challenge I have for you and for myself is not for us to be satisfied merely as being a Christian, as someone who has been sealed, saved, adopted, gifted, and on our way to heaven, but to take the decision to becoming a full-time follower of Jesus, visually and verbally. You know, like a boat in the harbour when it just sits there. It looks good, but it's not doing what it's been built to do. A boat is meant to be out of the harbour on the big ocean. But it's not as safe as the harbour, is it? Sometimes as followers of Jesus, we like to be in the harbour. We don't like it out on the ocean. But we weren't made just to be in the harbour. We were meant to be out on the ocean. This can be different and difficult, but we need to know what we believe and how to live it. It is like the old Hebrew proverb where a disciple being covered in the master's dust follows that close. Are we covered in the dust of Jesus? I know one of my issues is that I run ahead of Jesus. I do not stop and follow. I do not adhere to his plan, and I run ahead with my plan. Are we ready to get dusty? Such a commitment is expected of all his disciples and part of the Great Commission, whereby we become disciples, but we also make disciples. You get that bit? We become disciples, but we also make disciples. Our first Bible reading, and I know it's been a long time coming, Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. I'm reading from the New King James. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. First part in that challenge that Jesus gave his disciples on the Mount from Matthew 28 is go. There's that action bit. There's one part where we learn, where we get the teaching, where we understand, but there is the going. We need to go. We need to go and make disciples of all the nations. We've heard today about MAF and what they're doing, and what they do is so important, so incredible. We've heard today about Destiny Rescue, what they're doing, and what they do is so amazing. 16 young girls in the last week rescued out of a terrible, terrible time. We need to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's important for that belonging part to take place. Certainly for us as a Baptist church, being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is important. Then we need to grab hold of the things that we have learnt and understood, and we need to start teaching them. So we learn so we can pass it on in a teaching place. It's like the rabbi becomes a teacher. And here's the promise that Jesus says, these are the things I've commanded for you to do, and lo, I am with you always. We're not to do this in our own strength or in our own power. We're meant to do it in God's strength and in God's power. It is time for us to move forward individually and corporately. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says this: "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Hebrews chapter 6 is quite a powerful chapter. If you want to delve into it a bit more, you can. It goes further afield than just staying at the level of baby Christianity. And there's a call to going to maturity. And part of maturity is to reproduce, to make disciples. You know, seeds, garden. She plants the seeds, but if those seeds don't grow, then she's not a very successful gardener, is she? And if she plants the seeds and the plant starts to grow, then you still need to water it and cultivate it and fertilize it and employ Agent Blue to look after it for you. It needs to have work done to it. And we, as followers of Jesus, need to be about helping people walk in their faith. 1 Peter 2 verse 21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps." You say, yeah, Jesus' life was about coming and going to the cross and dying for our sin, but his life was also an example. And so over the next month, we're going to delve into the book of Luke. This week, as I've been doing some more research into the platform for this message and also for the next few weeks, I challenge you to read the book of Acts. Now, that was good, but probably put the horse before the cart. First part is to read the book of Luke, and that flows into the book of Acts. So we're going to delve a few things out of the book of Luke over the next month. Fantastic book. I've got a guy that I'm reading stuff on who's done a PhD on the book of Luke. How cool is that? So hopefully he'll be able to bring us some amazing truths over the next couple of weeks. The book of Luke gives us a good example of the Jesus example that we can follow, the type of Lord and Saviour that we live. To abide in God's word and then to live it out. During this time of COVID, Queensland Baptists have been really good to look after us as pastors. Many weeks I'm in prayer meetings with pastors in Mount Isa, Cairns, Billawheeler, Innisfail, Bowen, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Ipswich, Toowoomba. It's been fantastic meeting and seeing these people in Zoom and praying with them. It's been fantastic. Also through Movement Day, that's all over Australia and New Zealand. We've been able to talk with people and hear incredible stories, absolutely incredible stories and testimonies about what God's doing across cities. Another one that I'm a part of is Sports Chaplaincy Australia. And I've got to meet chaplains in all different sports. And some of that's a little bit hard because some of the teams I don't like actually have chaplains. And those chaplains are trying to make disciples in that team, and changes the way you look at the team when you hear that God's word is going out amongst that team in an amazing way. Some of you know that I love my sport and I love my footy, and so when you have a chaplain sharing a story, it gets my attention. And I thought this story I want to finish with is a great way of a young man who lived out his life and lived it to the fullest, but unfortunately died a very young man. The story I want to talk about is a guy called John Manner. John Manner was an A-grade footballer. He played for a team called Cronulla, and then he joined Parramatta. He joined Parramatta because his big brother, Tim Manner, was the captain at Parramatta. Now, Tim is an absolute full-on Christian, and I got to hear this testimony from Tim's sharing about it. Now, John was a full-on Christian as well, but John came down with a very... was unto death disease, and he slowly weakened from what they called a beast of a man, a big, strong, tough footballer who was passionate about Jesus and let everybody know, came down with this sickness and disease. He was put in hospital, and in his last days said he didn't want to take any pain relief. He wanted to not have anything hinder that first moment that he met Jesus face to face. He didn't want to be on any sort of drug or medication, and therefore there was a bit of a painful time as he left. In his last moments of life, he was sharing with his family as they were in the room, and all of a sudden everything went black. And John said, "Everything's gone black, Mum. Everything's gone black, Tim." And so they started praying through Psalm 23. "Though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he will fear no evil." And then he came out of that shadow and he said, "I see the light. I see the light." And then he said, "I see Jesus." And then he passed away. The testimony of his life, a short-lived life, a beast of a man, but his faith, so real and powerful. He wanted to go out in a powerful way. May our lives have a testimony that we live for Jesus, no matter the cost. And there will be a cost. The next few weeks we're going to look at that, and there is a cost to following Jesus. Some of it we may like to pay, some of it's nice and easy, some of it is hard. But let's pray, shall we? Father God, I want to thank you so much for your word and your truth in and through our lives. I want to ask, Lord God, that you would move in and through us. Lord God, it's not 400 BC. It's not the 1700s. It's not 1969. It is 2020. And this is our watch. This is our community. These are our family members. Lord, let us not be a sleeping giant. Let us not be dulled by the ways of this world. Let us not be transformed into the patterns that this world has. But let us, no matter whether we walk through the valley and it's dark, may we know you are with us. May we know your light. And may we bring your light to a dark and dying world. Empower us by your Holy Spirit, I pray, that we may be your disciples, but that we might make disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.